truth.
Welcome to In Defense of Humanity. My name is Elle Whitney, and it's August 5th, 2017. This program is about helping people reawaken to the wonderful qualities of our own species while accepting and understanding that the current corporate commercial legal structure, both government and business is built upon, is actively seeking to take control of most organic life forms on the planet. Restoring our unalienable rights and preserving our planet will require that we, the people, understand what has happened and learn how to empower ourselves as living men and women. Much of the information discussed on this show can be found on my website, anticorruptionsociety.com. If you need to remind yourself why humanity is worth defending, please read and enjoy the In Defense of Humanity page. Listen at the top of my own page. I'd like to make new listeners aware that there is a free People's Empowerment Guide to our corporate commercial legal system on my website called Lawfully Yours. It's a collaboration of many men and women in the legal accountability movement. You can locate it by clicking on the Lawfully Yours tab at the top of my homepage. Our guide has been viewed more than 60,000 times since it was posted 2.5 years ago, and it is now in the 9th edition. We will keep adding to it as more information and ideas come to our attention. This guide contains valuable strategies for challenging the non-existent authority of our corporate government. Well, I have to apologize tonight. There seems to be some difficulty with RBN and Skype, but thank goodness they got it fixed. That's why we had a delay. Apparently, they couldn't get to me, and I couldn't get to them, but we've got it worked out for now, and I'm happy because I have a wonderful guest that I've invited on the show. I spoke with him earlier this week, and I was reminded of the amount of knowledge that he has acquired over many, many years, many topics. He's just wonderful to talk to. His name is Mike Williams. He has his own website, Sage of Quay Radio, and he does interviews. He's interviewed some of the people on RBN, like Deanna Spingola, and many other really well-known people have been interviewed by Mike, and he posts it on his website as podcasts. So you might want to check that out. He's got some great stuff there. A lot of information. He also sends out a daily newsletter with multiple links to short videos that is just a joy to get every day. I look forward to it, actually, every morning. I get an email from Sage of Quay, and I look to see what Mike has put together to send out. And generally, there's at least one or two things that I'm just really eager to look at. And it's a nice way to start your day. His profession is hypnotherapy. Mike is a professional hypnotherapist, which some point in the future I'd like to have him back on and talk about that, because there's a lot more to that than most people understand. And he is also a musician, and that's why I invited him on to talk tonight. I think most of the listeners have recognized that when we were younger, the music seemed to speak to us. There seemed to be a better tune, better lyrics. And as of the last, 10, 20 years, the music is just getting more and more disgusting. I don't think it's just that our tastes have changed. I think the music has changed, and Mike has come to the same conclusion. He's looked into it a lot closer than I have, and his observations, I think, are right on. When he used the term in our phone conversation, organic music, I just absolutely made perfect sense to me. So I'd like to invite Mike. Have we got Mike with us?
I'm here, Anita. Yes.
Oh, great. Wonderful. Yes, Mike, I'd like to let you tell the people about what you learned about the history of our pop music. And maybe you could start with defining organic music, because I thought that was such an important term.
Well, organic music is music that comes from the individual's creativity and their imagination. In other words, it's not tampered with. It doesn't have somebody else telling you how it should sound, and you know how long this song should be, and you should play to this audience or that audience. So in other words, it's not some kind of marketing strategy. Organic music is music that comes from the heart, and it comes from the musician's own personal creativity and imagination, and it just flows. And when we spoke earlier about that, what I was saying is that we have very, very little, if none of it, in the pop music culture today. Basically, we have zero.
Wow. And tell us how that came about. I mean, that certainly didn't, it wasn't always that way. I mean, I've been down to New Orleans and listened to some of the people who've been there for generations. I mean, I don't think it was always like this. When do you think this all changed?
It all changed. Well, we still have organic music today. So let me just back up a second. We still have it. So if you go down to New Orleans as an example and you listen to the bands on the street and so on, that's organic. I'm referring to is the mass marketed music, the pop music that we hear on the radio, hip hop, rap, all the genres today that are popular on the radio, popular with music award shows, those types of venues, all of that is not organic. That is all engineered and that's all manufactured. And when it all started is when they, when I say they, I'm talking about the controllers, those that control, when they were able to make money off of it. So anytime there is that moment of realization when they can market something, they can sell something, because we live in a system of commerce. I know you know this. Anytime they can make money, they're going to jump in and they're going to capitalize on it and they're going to own and control it. It's not just the music industry. We can also take a look at the entertainment industry like Hollywood. It's the same thing. So from my perspective, it really, really started getting going in the 1960s. And it was controlled in the 1950s, too. All the bands that people were listening to back in the 50s, as an example, maybe some of us who are old enough will remember payola. You had to pay the radio stations in order to have your music heard or played on that radio station, in order for your music to be on the air. And so that has always been in play. But in the 1960s, it really started to change, because in the 60s, and maybe even before that with Elvis, it started to really become a social engineering tool. That's what music was being used for, was to social engineer the population and the masses, and to drive especially the young people in a certain direction. So essentially it was, it's a constant ongoing experiment.
Wow. You know, and I remember, you know, there was Perry Como. I mean, you can look at these old shows and all the parents were watching Perry Como and Janice Page and those things. And all of a sudden in comes Elvis. Yep. And there was a huge divide between children and parent when it came to music. It was like a divorce occurred.
Yeah, it was a big divide, and it was a shocking difference, right? So, like you said, Perry Como, and when I was growing up in the 60s, my parents were listening to Andy Williams and Herb Albert and, you know, those types of artists. But yes. Elvis, when he arrived on the scene, it was very sexual. With the gyrating hips, and even though today we would look at it and we think it's nothing, right? We'd say, well, that's really you know, big to do about nothing with regard to Elvis. But back then, it was shocking. But when we analyze and we take a look at how the controllers do this, everything, Anita, is done incrementally. It's very methodical. So they start at a certain point. They never dive into the point where it becomes very obvious and so shocking that there is a huge upheaval within the masses. So they start and they introduce, as an example, Elvis. And then after Elvis, it becomes, and we'll just use, you know, big chunks of time here or big moments in time, the Beatles. And then after we get to the Beatles, we get to, you know, other artists, David Bowie, as an example, which Bowie introduced androgyny to the social consciousness. You know, transgender was in the 80s with Boy George. And a lot of people, you know, don't connect those dots. So what they do is they introduce it step by step, very incrementally, so that it doesn't, you know, capsize the ship. And so if, you know, once we're 30, 40, 50 years down the line, so it's been 50 years since the Beatles hit the scene. Once we're 50 years later and you take a look back, you can see that a lot has changed. A lot has changed.
Oh, yeah.
So, but that's the thing. It's very slow moving. It's very incremental, so that it just kind of slips in and people assimilate into the change. They adapt to the change. They embrace the change, and then they move on to the next incremental step down the road. And then the same cycle takes root again. And then once that solidifies into the social consciousness, then they move to the next. And that's how it works. And so today, you know, you and I spoke earlier, we can see where music is, you know, where it is today. And it's really a sad state of affairs.
It really is. And I remember when the Rolling Stones came in and Mick Jagger and all of that, my mother was just mortified. She couldn't believe it and wouldn't tolerate it at all. So it was a huge divide between one generation and another. And I don't know that music has ever divided generations historically as much as they did when they brought in hard rock. I mean, that just really split the family right up.
Yeah, well, when they brought in, what they do is they want the minds of the young people. So they need to break the young people away from the oversight of the parents. So then now what you have a clash of the generations. It's the parents, the older generation against the newer generation. This has been something that's been going on for, you know, for a very long time. But the problem is that the changes that they have been making and where we're at today is very dark. It's just loaded up, and it's just bleeding out with occult symbolism and occult ideology, and that's where we're at today. And we see the kids today embracing this, even the sexualization of little children. Right, this is being played out in the media. I should say the entertainment, like in the movies and on television, and it's also making its way, you know, has made its way into music. This is over sexualization that's geared toward the young people, and especially it's detrimental, I would say, not only to the boys also, but also to young girls.
You know, and it seems like it's such a well organized plot, and I'll tell you. When you go and look at the clothing that they're selling for young girls,
yeah,
have you looked at that? I mean, obviously the designers, everybody's coordinated in this effort. What they see on the screen, what they hear, and then what they go buy is all in unison.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody remembers this. They used to, I haven't seen it so much lately. They used to put on the bottom of the girls' jeans and shorts words like princess right on the butt. Yeah. And I thought that was outrageous.
Yeah, well, they'd have, you know, a couple of years ago it was pink, right? And that's a reference to the genitalia. They would have that printed across the girl's bottom. But people don't pick up on this stuff because they don't understand. They think it's some kind of branding. It's some kind of, marketing gimmick for the moment. But none of this stuff that happens is happenstance. Everything that's done, when we're talking about these big multinational corporations and how they market and how they brand, nothing is happenstance. Everything is planned out. It's very strategic. And it's all very much embedded in occult theology.
Well, and the parents, I don't think want to face this, do they? I mean, they would rather not face it than tend to struggle at trying to understand why this is all happening in unison, and then try to extricate their child from it. It is extremely difficult, particularly if they're in public school. I mean, they're hearing this music, they're seeing these clothes. Hang in there, Mike. We're going to take a break, and we will take calls with Mike in the second hour. We'll be right back.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
BrainMag is an amazing nutraceutical technology that crosses the blood-brain barrier because it is a magnesium L-threonate and magnesium malate and glycinate. Magnesium L-threonate, when it crosses the blood-brain barrier, protects the brain from oxidative stress, and in knockout mice was able to protect against memory loss and Alzheimer's. It dramatically increases cognitive health, improves sleep quality, stabilizes the mood, works wonderfully with calm mind.
Is this Sam?
It's a combination drink supplement. Order Nutri Medical.
Is there any way you could let turn off the sound? We can't talk, can we, unless we're in the same Skype box, me and Mike,
or
right?
Nutri Medical, NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical, NutriMedical.com. This is the best nutraceutical for calming your brain, protecting memory and brain function, and prevention of Alzheimer's.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Okay, welcome back to In Defense of Humanity. We're talking to Mike Williams, and we lost Mike. Mike, are you back? Did we lose Mike, Sam? Sam? All right, good. Okay, so Mike, what impact, not only is this, you're talking about it's got a psychological impact, they're getting these messages, subliminal messages out, what effect does it have on us? I mean, you and I talked, and historically, mankind has taken pleasure in music and found relaxation and joy and beauty. In fact, it's one of those things when you're stressed out, many people will just sit down and listen to beautiful music and it'll just sweep over them. What effect has all this had on us enjoying music?
Well, it's made music less enjoyable from the standpoint of, again, pop music, Anita. Now, there's still plenty of music out there that's available that's very enjoyable, but I'm really focused on the music that is focused on the young people. Yeah. And right, so this is music that is, it is social engineering. It's music that is geared toward making the children more promiscuous with the lyrics, more aggressive, especially with certain genres like hip-hop and rap, as an example. And I have some information here that I can take the audience through if you'd like with regard to some research that's been done, especially with regard to rap and hip-hop and how it has contributed to behavior, which is, you know, is not good. So it's got the, like we mentioned earlier, it's got the whole sexualization aspect of it. It has the whole androgyny aspect of it, which, again, is has to do with the theology of the elites. It's just playing into a world which is becoming more and more decadent. And yes. in order to take the world down that more decadent path, you have to get the minds of the young people marching down that road. They're not going to get it by convincing you and I, because you and I are not going to be convinced.
That's true.
Right? We know. So we're not going to accept it. We're going to reject it right out of hand. But the young folks, this is what they do. They grab on to the young, and they mold them, and they shape them, and they condition them. Yeah. This is what they do.
Well, what suggestions can we come up with? I mean, and we can invite people to call in, too. How can we defend against this? I have grandchildren, and it's very difficult to get them to do something that, you know, they do what their peers do, and to try to get them to vary from that, I have found is quite difficult. So if all their peers are listening to this music, there has to be something we can do to distract them or dissuade them. Or
well,
do you think if we explained it to...
I have a bad echo, Anita.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do you think if we explained it to them, it would make a difference?
I think that becoming aware and awake, I have a very bad echo when I speak.
Can you hear that, Sam? Sam? We're not hearing it, I'm afraid, Mike. You sound good from here.
Okay. Okay, so what has to happen, Anita? And I'll kind of deal with the echo here because it is there.
Mike?
Yep. Can you hear me?
Sam, did we lose Mike?
Can you hear me?
Except we can't hear him. Oh, no, I can't. Okay, well, we're going to be going to break soon. Maybe we can get our technology program solved. Can they hear me? Okay. All right, let's see if we can try another Skype line, or maybe I just could call in on the phone. What do you think?
You can call me on the phone, too.
Oh, you came back. I can hear you now.
Okay, you can hear me now?
Yes, we're back.
Okay.
I couldn't hear anything.
All right, so if we continue to have technical difficulties, maybe we can connect via phone. I got you my number there.
Yes. Okay, sounds good. Thank you. Okay, we'll be back shortly.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America.
With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at libertystickers.com. Again, that's libertystickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Humanity. This is Al Whitney. My guest tonight is Mike Williams of Sage of Quay Radio. And you know, one of the things you send out in your I guess it's like a newsletter. I mean, it's really neat. What do you call it? Where you send out seven links to kind of really neat little YouTubes, and you do that every day. And you have included a lot about guitar strings, and I'm not a guitarist. Obviously there's a lot of people who are really are interested in still playing music, and you seem to be a part of that group, which I think is wonderful. Is it a group effort that's involved in trying to restore organic music? You see it as a movement?
I see it as, well, it's interesting. See, because the problem is that in order to make it and then, make money at this, you have to be able to land yourself a record contract.
Okay.
And you have to wind up with a label. Now, we know that these record contracts with these labels, as soon as you connect into that, there's going to be issues right away as far as impacting your ability to be your own person, as far as a musician, as far as allowing your creativity and imagination to unleash, because you're going to be constrained by what it is that they're going to want you to do and what they're expecting you to do based upon the terms and conditions of the contract that you've signed. You see?
Okay.
So what's happened is there are a lot of musicians and bands out there that have gone the independent route, the indie route. And so what they're doing is, because the recording equipment that you can have in a home studio today is very advanced. In fact, I have a 24-track digital recorder right behind me. It fits on a small table.
Okay.
And so what myself and others are able to do is to record our music, and then we're able to get it out there by essentially self-publishing. Now, The problem with self-publishing is that the music stays whole. In other words, it's untainted by other interests in the corporate entertainment business or the music business, but you don't have the resources to get the broad exposure.
Yeah.
And without the broad exposure and the marketing, then what's going to happen is you're not going to see the types of sales that you would like to see to be able to sustain that work and make a living at it, is how I should probably phrase that, right? So there is a lot of musicians out there today and a lot of bands that are going that indie route, and there's a lot of really good music out there because of it. But the stuff that gets pumped out on the mainstream pipelines, on the radio, on television, you know, via the music award shows and so on, that stuff is completely and totally controlled, engineered, and orchestrated, all of that. So you have these, you know, you have basically these two diverse approaches to this. Those that really want to hit the big time, where you've got to sell your soul, and then there are those that are trying to get their music out, and they're going the independent route. Now, a lot of people who are going down the independent route, they are trying to get a big-time contract, right? So then you have this kind of this mishmash of in-between stuff, because those bands and those singers and musicians, what they're trying to do is they're trying to find that spot where the big labels will say, hey, you're down the right path. That's what we want to hear. That's the sound we want to hear. That's what people are listening to. So in other words, they're kind of diverting away from maybe their core selves or their core music in order to placate the music industry so that they can get their shot at stardom. You know, so it's, I guess the point I'm making is it's very diverse. The landscape is very, very diverse. But if you're looking for what I refer to as organic music, it is out there. But you're going to have to look at independent labels, and you're going to have to, you know, go to, you know, online to websites like maybe SoundCloud, Mixcloud, stuff like that,
where these bands
and these singers are posting this stuff.
Whoa, whoa. Let's say that over again. I hadn't heard of that. I got my pencil out.
I mean, well, I'm just using two examples.
Okay, SoundCloud. So let's say I want to hear some good organic music, okay? And I've got my computer. Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, you can go to SoundCloud. You can, or you can go to Mixcloud, or you can go to Reverb Nation.
Wait,
Reverb
I'm
Nation. Al- okay.
Well, really, because I get sick of the what they've done to music. I mean, I did not even know about this, and maybe some of the listeners didn't know about this. So I think it's great we're sharing it. And Reverberation, just that?
No, Reverb Nation. Reverb Nation.
Reverb.
Like guitar reverb. R-E-V-E-R-B Nation. ReverbNation.com. And there are many, 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 many musicians and bands on Reverb Nation, all different genres of music. And so you can pick and choose what it is that you'd like to listen to. And there's some fantastic artists that are out there. And you know, it's a misnomer that the most talented are the ones that you see on TV and the radio. I would say they're probably some of the least talented when you measure it up against the folks that are out there doing independent music.
Well, this is good news to me, Mike. I did not know anything about this. And I'm sick of the horrible music. You know, a lot of us go back to oldies just because we can't stand the music that's out there now, and to find out that there's
three sources that I can go and find good music is just delightful to me.
Yeah, that is. There's many other sources. You're going to have to hunt and peck a little bit, you know. But you'll find the stuff that's out there. It's you know, it's all over the web. You just have to look for it. Now, to go back for a second, Anita, to something you asked before we went to the break. You asked about how we can get the kids away from the music and how we can get them. Yeah. So I just wanted to say that this is a very complicated solution. It's not an easy solution because there has to be an awakening and an awareness of what is going on. What is going on under the covers? And in order to get that to the attraction with the children, I believe that the parents themselves have to wake up.
Right.
There's a lot of parents out there. There's a lot of parents that care. There's no doubt about it. And I know some of these parents. But on the other hand, there's a lot of parents that are asleep at the switch.
Yes.
And they're not paying attention at all to what their kids are doing, never mind the music. But, you know, they're not listening to what the kids are listening to. They don't ask. They don't read the lyrics. They don't – nothing. So you have absentee parents.
Yeah.
So – and some parents might get upset with me saying this, you know, because they're saying, well, you know, Mike, our time is occupied with work. We're working 55, 60 hours a week. We have a two-family working household. We need two incomes in order to maintain the home and all that stuff. So that's where it gets complicated because – when we talk about the controllers and we talk about the matrix, they have all the bases covered in order to throw as many obstacles in the way of humanity so that humanity doesn't thrive in a healthy way.
I absolutely agree. Sadly, I agree totally.
Yeah, so that's the problem that we have. And they're constantly inundating the household with these images and with the music, and if it's not in the house and the kids got their earbuds in and they're listening to it on their phones, they're going to concerts. It's pervasive. It's all over the place. But the way we break it down, the way that we hopefully can get people awake and away from this stuff is from shows like this and getting people to wake up. It's a very daunting task, right? It's not an easy thing to do because it's, like I said, it's in everybody's face 24/7, 365 days a year.
Well, there's no question about that. Now, frequently when we have get-togethers and we have music going on in the background, and I'm thinking it might, you know, children hear music. I mean, I was raised with a sister who was a classic pianist. Okay, so I heard classic music on the piano every day, all day, frantically. And that became a part of what I enjoy just by hearing it. These kind of independent musicians, they probably don't have a radio station, right? So if I was going to use this, I'm just thinking out loud, Mike, if they're not introduced to something good music, they will never recognize it. I mean, you're saying there's some really good music. Do they have a radio station, or you'd have to put it on the computer and as music when you have them over as guests and you're talking?
Well, there are radio stations on the internet that stream, and you know, there are stations out there that are dedicated to unsigned artists, independent artists, and so on. So, you know, you have outlets like that where you can go there and you can dig in and seek out and music that resonates with you.
Yes.
You can do that. So there are vehicles available in order to get to that music. The problem is that we've got to break the stranglehold that the mainstream music industry has on our youth.
Right.
And it is a stranglehold.
Well,
again,
it
goes back to it's an education and an awareness process.
Well, I don't know about your childhood, but it was truly a stranglehold on me. I mean, I remember it. This was, you know, my gosh, this music was just so fabulous. And my parents didn't have any taste at all, and they were old-fashioned. And I just got swept away, you know, with it. Now, do you remember there was a whole folk music era tucked in there somewhere as well.
Yep. Yeah.
Now,
yeah,
that seemed to be a middle of the road. The older people didn't mind that folk music so much, but that was short lived, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was short lived. You know, that's in the, you know, with Joni Mitchell and maybe even to a degree, Bob Dylan to a certain degree, right? Dylan was kind of a bridge between that folk music and then heading into rock. But it was short lived. And then the advent of the electric guitar. And you know, once you had the bands with the electric guitars and the drums, folk music was kind of pushed aside. It was still there, but it didn't have a presence, not like rock music as we know it today.
Well, and I remember when, you know, if you look at the pictures of Kiss, I mean, how obscene were they?
Right.
And they had a huge following, and to me, just looking at them, that was just pure obscenity. Their music was obscenity, and so were they.
Yeah, it was very... Kiss, everything about Kiss was what we're talking about today, right? So Kiss was it was very dark, very occulted. Much of the music was very sexualized, and... That was their bag, and that's what they did. And they had it, like you said, they had a huge following. To this day, they have a huge following. They still have a huge following. That's why it's so hard to break it. I mean, you talked about when you were a kid, and I was a Beatle freak, like you wouldn't believe. I love the Beatles. To this day, I love the Beatles. So, you know, as a kid growing up, if my parents had come to me and said, "Well, we don't want you listening to Beatle music," I'm like, "That's not going to happen." You know, yeah. I would, you know, one way or another, I would still try to figure out a way that I could listen to Beatle music. You know, but the thing is, that music back in the '60s, to a large degree, is very different than what we're talking about in subsequent decades, especially what we're talking about when we're talking about the music of today. It's very, very different. You know, back in that day, back in the '60s, we were still listening to a lot of songs that had to do with relationships. Boy meets girl, girl meets boy, boy breaks up with girl, and so on. It had a lot to do with love and relationships. But that's all really gone out the window now, and it's gotten very, very, as I mentioned before, it's very decadent, it's very dark, and... It's leading the kids down a path. It's not going to be a good journey.
Not only is it not going to be a good journey, it's certainly not going to prepare them for parenthood. I mean,
no,
they're not learning about love. They're not learning about caring. They're not learning about empathy. I mean, remember the Beatles' first song was "I Want to Hold Your Hand."
Right.
How benign was that? Right.
Right, but that's the thing. They don't want a family nucleus. They don't want, and this is what music is very powerful. So they know music is very powerful. If it wasn't, they wouldn't control it. So it's a major vehicle that they have in order to steer the collective consciousness. It's a huge vehicle in which to social engineer, and there are many, many aspects of the Matrix that have looked to and have done actually a very good job of breaking down the family.
Yeah.
And music is playing its part as part of the tools that they have in their toolbox to do that. And to essentially, to dehumanize humanity. You talked about, there is no love. It's all about sex today. It's just sex. It's gratuitous sex. That's really what's played out many times, and not just in music, but in entertainment in general. Promiscuity is something that is rolled out there without the controllers blinking an eye. And the unfortunate part is, as we mentioned about the parenting and stuff like that, is that a lot of stuff is just it's allowed to just roll on down the highway and right up the doorstep and into the living rooms and into the households of the families, and it's having an effect. You know, it's having a very big effect on the youth, and future generations are going to be, you know, it's all programming, it's all mind control, and they're going to have a whole different set of values and beliefs than you and I, we wouldn't even recognize them. 5-10 years from now, There are going to be values and beliefs and stuff like that, Anita, that you and I are just, we would not get it at all. And it won't be for the better.
And you combine that with Common Core.
Yeah.
It's like the rug is being pulled out from under them. In other words, this isolation and this negativity will leave this gaping hole in their spirits. So they may act out negatively, or they may just absorb this internally. And hello, we've got happy drugs to give them, right? I mean, it's like they're undermining their sense of self-worth and value as well.
Right. Well, that's the thing. They don't want people to have self-worth, because if you have self-worth, you're going to be resilient, and you're going to be creative, and you're going to challenge, and you're going to critically think, and you're going to free think. They don't want that. They don't want that. It's like George Carlin has said, they want you just smart enough to work the machines. That's all that they want.
Yeah.
They don't want you walking around, you know, being your own person. I just wanted to, we're talking about the kids here, so I just quickly, let me just take you through this. In particular, we're talking about rap and hip-hop here, but rap and hip-hop beats and lyrics are hypnotic in nature. So a lot of kids that are listening to this don't even realize it's the beat, it's the pounding beat, and then the way the lyrics, the cadence of the lyrics, it's hypnotic.
Oh,
so what they're doing is, so the combination of that beat and the way the lyrics are played out, the way they're spoken, there's a trance state that sets in. And this is what hip-hop is doing. So hip-hop and rap came into being in the mid-1980s. And that was really like the birth of gangster rap. And it was like artists like N.W.A., Eazy-E, it was Snoop Dogg, Tupac, artists like that. And but there was a couple of... actually, it's more than a couple, but there was research that was done, mainstream research. This is very interesting from a psychology perspective, that where they said that violent song lyrics increase negative emotions and thoughts that can lead to aggression, according to a study that was published in the May issue of, this is 2003, of the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology. And then in 2006, there was a recent study, back in 2006, by the Prevention Research Center of the Pacific Institute for Research and Evaluation, it's in Berkeley, suggests that young people who listen to rap and hip-hop are more likely to abuse alcohol and commit violent acts.
Oh, wow.
Then in 2009, the American Academy of Pediatrics said that, and this is from their scientists, music plays an important role in the socialization of children and adolescents. So, okay, we know it plays an important role. Popular music is present almost everywhere and is easily available through the radio, various recordings, the internet, new technologies, etc. And this allows adolescents to hear it in diverse settings and situations, whether alone or shared with friends. And it goes on to say that research on popular music has explored its effects on schoolwork, social interactions, mood and effect, and particularly behavior. The effect that popular music has on children and adolescents' behavior and emotions is of paramount concern. This is the American Academy of Pediatrics saying this. Lyrics have become more explicit in their reference to drugs, sex, and violence over the years, particularly in certain genres. And the genre they're talking about is hip-hop and rap. A teenager's preference for certain types of music could be correlated or associated with certain behaviors. Research has reported that exposure to violence, sexual messages, sexual stereotypes, and use of substances of abuse in music videos might produce significant changes in behaviors and attitudes of young viewers. Pediatricians and parents should be aware of this information. This is on the American Academy of Pediatrics site. Furthermore, with the evidence portrayed in these studies, it is essential for pediatricians and parents to take a stand regarding music lyrics.
You know, I wish you'd send that to me. Would you send me a link and I'll post it to that, because I think I could give that to my daughters. I've been trying to reach them, and I'm sure the listeners have called in, and the same story happens across the country.
Yeah.
We try to reach our children and say that the world isn't the way it was when you were in school. Your parents now, things have changed. Things are worse.
Yeah.
They're much worse. You can't presume or assume that the world in which you grew up in is the world that your children are being subjected to. I have a hard time, and the listeners that have called in have shared with me, they also have a hard time convincing their adult children that something has changed. They don't want to know it.
It's all they know, Anita. It's all they know. It's like talking to an 18-year-old or a 19-year-old and saying to them, hey, they're spraying the skies with aerosols. And they look at you like, what? Because the only sky they have known have been skies with aerosols.
Yes.
So it's a very tough nut to crack. It really is. It's very, very difficult. And the reason why I read this was because I wanted the audience to understand that this isn't Mike and Anita making this stuff up. This isn't conjecture. There was mainstream medical and research and psychiatric organizations that have looked at this and have come to the conclusion, this is not good. This is not good. And but the thing is to get people to wake up to this, to get them to even read this. And even if they read it, the problem is for a lot of people, it doesn't even soak in. Like, it doesn't assimilate.
And if they do, here's the problem. In addition, and I know you're going to agree, let's just say they tell me, okay, I agree with you, Mom. This isn't good music for my kids. Now comes the next task. Well, what do we do about it? Now becomes right. Even more difficult because exactly like you and I were when we were young, it's unlikely that the children are going to allow you to stand between them and their peers and their music. This becomes even increasingly more difficult.
It's important to teach kids good morals, good ethics, to teach them responsibility and accountability. And I know it's hard. I know, I'm a father. My daughter's grown now, but I knew what it was like.
Right.
But the thing is, by keeping at it, as hard as it can be, and it can be very, very hard as a parent, you know, to stay on your kids and to make sure that they understand this stuff, because they're going to push back at every moment that they have. That's just the nature of kids, especially when they hit the teenage years. But what I found is that by just pounding it and doing it in a way which is not, you know, you don't want to ridicule. You just want to make sure you continue to, you be a role model as a parent, number one. And you just explain to them. What I did with my daughter was I explained how the world really works.
Yeah.
And in the beginning, she was like, my father's crazy. My father's a lunatic, okay? But as more and more time went on, as she was getting more life experiences under her belt, she was starting to see that, hey, you know what? He might be on to something. He may not be as crazy as I think he is. And so what happened was, as my daughter, you know, she got older, she grew up with a very good sense of right and wrong. She grew up with a sense of responsibility and accountability. And today, she sees this stuff that we're talking about. She sees what happened to music, you know?
Right.
So I think that that's what has to happen. I think that the parents really have to get their heads in the game.
Okay, hold on. We're going to take a break and we'll come back and we'll take some calls.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. owner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.